jaws, sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started with a godly man who built a mighty ship. Now this man Noah and his sons, they built with all their might, because God told them it would rain for 40 days and nights, for 40 days and nights. They put the animals in the ark, God brought them two by two. While they stayed safely in the ark, the flood tide grew and grew, the flood tide grew and grew. They floated on the water while the ark was tossed about, till Noah sent a dove to see when they could all come out, when they could all come out. The ship's aground on Ararat, that's where they disembarked, with Ham and Shem and Japheth too, and Noah and his wife. The animals were saved by God from the flood here on Noah's Ark.
How about that? The story of Noah in a minute and 15 seconds. I thought my job was going to be hard. Actually, we're going to take 9 weeks to tell this story. I know some people are thinking, 9 weeks of Noah? What on earth could you possibly talk about? Well, you'll have to come and find out, won't you? You're going to find the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 5 through 9. And yes, I put out the challenge to on the email list this week. I'm going to encourage you to read the entire story every single week at least once during this 9-week sermon series. So that means by the time we get to the end, you'll just about have it memorized. You'll understand exactly what Noah went through. And when I say Noah, you immediately think ark. I say Noah, and maybe you think flood. The ark and the flood were a large portion of the story, but it's not the center of Noah's story. And it's definitely not the entire story. So today is the introductory week, so you can kind of sit back. I'm going to just kind of introduce the story. And to introduce the story, I actually have to do something I don't do very often. I have to do some unteaching, which means I've got to take things that you taught in the past that we've seen in VBS little models and we've seen in Sunday school, and we kind of got to put things back like the Bible really talks about it, because when we draw pictures, we tend to draw in our culture, and that's not exactly what it looked like. This man, Noah, he had a very, very full life. You think your life was busy? Well, just take a look at Mr. Noah. From a family point, he was a son, a father, and a husband. That, my friends, is a full-time job all by itself, taking on those three roles in your life. However, he also had jobs. During his career path, he was a farmer, a construction farmer / shipbuilder, a ship captain, a zookeeper, a preacher, and even a winemaker. From a spiritual standpoint, the Bible tells us Noah was a righteous man. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God, a righteous man. Now, I know you're thinking about a year ago, we were in the middle of this series on Lot, and we saw that exact same phrase used of Lot in 2 Peter, when we did 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And before you're wondering, this is not another one of those sermon series that's going to fit into not another hero, because I honestly believe in his own little way, Noah was indeed a hero in the Bible. But please know, Noah was not perfect. Oh no. Noah had his moments, but for the most part, Noah had the correct priorities in his life. But we're getting a little ahead of the story. I want to start from the beginning of Noah's life and the expectations that were placed on it all the way from the beginning. And when we start Noah's life, it really does start in the beginning, because Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 2 start out, this is written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and named them mankind when they were created. So the story of Noah starts with a recap of how we got here. God created man, and then he gave them everything, including this stuff called free will, which sometimes I still wonder about that idea, but God gave them free will. They used that free will, and they chose badly. They chose their own way versus God's way, and that's an important fact that you need to remember. That's how we get to Noah. Now, as you continue reading in chapter 5, after we get out of verses 1 and 2, there is a whole lot of begatting going on, okay? So from verses 3 to 28, it talks all about family trees, and I am going to spare you the torture of having me try to pronounce all these people's names. If you're really interested in the begatting, you get to read the story. So you can go read the story. But let me give you some of the highlights. From Adam to Noah, there are 9 generations. When you read the story, only the names of the males are going to be covered. I'm sorry, ladies. I didn't write the book, okay? But only the men are mentioned. But they do say, and there were some daughters. Like those daughters weren't important because you don't get more sons if you don't have daughters, right? But there are 9 generations. Only the daughters were mentioned. And as you follow along, you'll see that it's produced, that most generations produce multiple children, even up into their hundreds and hundreds of years old. And this is one of the reasons I'm thankful I live now and not then. I could not imagine having kids at 500 years old. I can't imagine having kids at 50 years old. No, thank you. I'm good, okay? But this is important that you know that most families had many, 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 many kids. So let's talk about Noah. The name Noah derives from the word Noach, a Hebrew name meaning rest, which in itself is kind of funny because Noah always seemed to be a busy man and had work to do. From the moment Noah got here, this was the declaration from Dear Dad. He named him Noah, he being Noah's dad. He named him Noah and said, "He will comfort us in the labor of painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." So here he is, a brand new little baby, just got here on the scene. Dad looks at him and says, "Cool, he's going to be a comforter." If you've ever tried to comfort anybody, that's a lot of work, folks. And he's going to be a laborer, so he's going to be a worker. And it kind of gets the idea that Noah's first career was a farmer, better him than me, because it says that he was going to toil the ground. However, when you begin to look at that story, there's another interesting note that kind of tells you something about Dad's philosophy. And it kind of talks about who Dad saw was the fault of human plight. Did you catch the phrase? He said, "Caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." Now, I don't want to read a whole bunch in the middle of it. And maybe he was just stating facts. But could he not have just said as easily that the ground that was cursed because of man's sin? But he reversed it. He says, God cursed the ground, and that's why I need comfort. God cursed the ground, and that's why I have to work so hard. If God hadn't have done this, I could have set my clock for 10 o'clock today. It'd be all good, right? And when you read really into that, and you begin to study the life of Noah and the family and everything that goes around him, you understand it's God's fault. That's the mentality that we see. It's God's fault. So as we're starting this sermon series, we find out we've got a man that's busy, busy, busy. I can relate to that one. And we've got a man who people are blaming God. What's happening in their world? So let's talk about the sons of Noah. And this just gives me the creepies here for just a second. The sons of Noah. After he was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Again, I'm glad he picked Noah and not me. But I want you to think about something. Remember, I told you all the other generations had multiple sons and daughters. And well, Noah is 500 when these three come along. Thus, it's most likely possible these weren't the only three sons of Noah. These were the only three that get to be mentioned by name. And these are the only three kids that, and they don't mention any of the daughters. After all, they got wives from somewhere. These kids had time on their hands. Matter of fact, the kids that were born before Ham and Shem and Japheth probably had a chance to have Noah some grandkids. And so that means while three sons and his wife and their wives were all that got on the ark, as they were given on the ark, there's a very good possibility that Noah is going to be leaving behind family. Think about that from a dad and mom perspective. That ark door begins to go, you hear that clunk when it all clicks shut, and you've only got three sons and their wives. And the other thing that we find out is, because of this, we ask, why are the only ones mentioned then? There, you're reading between the lines here. I know why they were the only ones mentioned, because they're the only ones that got on the ark. All the others died. This is it. You see, when Noah got on that ark, he was 600 years old. So now the sermon is going to turn into a math class. Okay? Genesis chapter 7, verse 6 says, "Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came to earth." So, Noah's dad, and when you read all the Begadim, you're going to find out, Noah's dad lived 595 years after Noah was born. Thus, he died 5 years before the flood. So Noah's dad died before the rainwaters ever showed up. However, Noah had a grandfather. His name was Methuselah. What's Methuselah known for? The oldest man that ever lived. Here's the thing. If you go back and you do the math, when Noah was born, Methuselah was 369 years old. Noah entered the ark when he was 600 years old. Thus, either Methuselah was really, really lucky, and he died the year of the flood, or Methuselah refused to get on the ark. Oh, wait a minute. So Noah's got family problems to go with his busy schedule, and the fact that he's got all this stuff to do. Noah's got family issues because he's got family that was born before him that isn't going to get on that ark. So the entire time that he's building, he's got to deal with his family. Really? That's what you choose to do with your time? Come on over and have dinner. I got work to do, Dad. No, you got time. No, I don't have time. Trust me. Now, there's another twist to Noah's family. God decided the flood 120 years prior to the first raindrop. Okay? That's what we're told. So God decided to destroy the entire planet, and he said, I'm going to do so in 120 years. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. Now, we really don't know how long God waited to tell Noah. I'm going to go with a hunch. He probably didn't wait 115 years and then go tell Noah, you got 5 years left. There's a lot of work to do. We also don't know how long before Noah started driving the first nail for the ark. I mean, there's going to be a lot of prep work for this. He's got trees to gather. He might have trees to grow. He's got to get all this other stuff together. He's got to get a labor force together. I mean, this is not a small boat. This isn't the USS Minnow. This is going to be a life-saving ark. Here's the fun thing. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Well, they were born to Noah 20 years after the countdown started. And no, I didn't just pull this one out of my head. This is actually math. See, in Genesis chapter 10, verse 21, it tells us that Japheth was born, the firstborn. Japheth is the oldest, not Ham. That he was born to Noah at the age of 500. So Noah got on the boat when he was 600, and Japheth was born at 100. So I mean at 500. So that means that between that was a 100 years. But the clock started 120 years. So after Japheth came Shem, and the Bible tells us in verse 11, chapter 10, that Shem was born when Noah was 502 years old. So now we've got a second son while we're trying to digest the fact that the world is going to be destroyed. And just so you know, according to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, Ham was the youngest son. So we don't know exactly when he was born, but we know Noah was beyond 502 years old. So now we have three sons born to Noah after the clock starts. So what's the big deal? Now my parents are going to understand what the big deal is. Because you know what? These boys would have spent their entire lives hearing about the pending flood, watching and eventually having to help build the ark and the construction, and then wrestling with a world that was completely out of control with sin. We'll talk about the world in a moment. But can you relate to this? I'm busy, God. I'm working. I'm doing ministry. I'm doing what you told me to do. God, I also have to raise these kids that I've got. And you know what? Raising boys is not easy. They've got all these things they want to go do, and they want to go hang out with their friends, and who knows what they're doing, and I need their help here to build the ark. God, what are you doing to me? You want me to collect animals, too, while I'm building the ark, and while I'm building the ark and collecting animals? You want me to preach to the world, too? I'm starting to feel Noah. And while he's preaching, he's got another very important job. He's got to convince these boys to decide for themselves to get on the ark. We read the story now, and it says Ham, Shem, and Japheth got on the ark. Okay, obviously you've never had teenagers if you think that was an easy thing to convince them to get on that ark, because God did not force them on the ark. He opened the door and they had the exact same decision that everybody else in the world had. They did not have to go on just because they were Noah's sons. They had to choose to get on the ark. So all the time Noah is busy, busy, busy trying to do the ministry of God, trying to save the world, trying to run a construction project, trying to manage a zoo, he's also got to convince three boys that their best alternative for their life is to give their life to God and get on that ark like God said do. Now I definitely am feeling you, Noah. And he's got to do it all in a world that has gone crazy. Noah was still raising a family. And dealing with family, the people that were telling him he's crazy for building the ark, what do you need an ark for? It doesn't rain, right? What do you mean rain? We've never seen rain before. He had to teach the boys the value of a relationship with God while the world did not value it. And he had to convince them that their best option, again, was to get on that ark. And you know what? Mission accomplished when it came to his kids. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. All right, Barry, well, how do you know the world's gone crazy? Well, you know, we like to say our world is getting crazier. No. Jesus tells us, Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 27, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came to destroy them all. So as the world looked at themselves, everything was normal. They were making plans. They had vacations to go on. And jobs to do, and careers, and they were getting married, and they were having celebrations, and they were just living their life. They were just doing everyday things, cooking meals, getting up, going to work, coming home, complaining about their coworkers, complaining about their boss, complaining about the church, complaining. Yet they were just doing people things. And Jesus said this was going to happen all the way up until they entered the ark. And this is important for us to remember. Because when we read the story of Noah, we often think these people must have been such horrible, rotten people. But from a people perspective, you know what they were? Just people. They probably weren't much different than the world that we see out there today. Okay, they probably didn't have little phones if they were walking around doing this. Okay? Okay, and they probably didn't have cars. But they definitely didn't have the internet. All right, but they were just people. And that's an important thing for us to remember, because from God's perspective, being just people means that there is a bigger problem going on. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. So, when you start reading the Begats, you can get yourself out a calculator, and when you finish doing all the adding, you're going to figure out from Adam to Noah was 1,659 years. No, I did not add this up. I Googled this, and it told me 1,659 years. But you understand, that's less than 2,000 years from the original sin. And this is how God defined the human race at this point. Great is the wickedness. And not only did he say great is the wickedness, he dove even deeper into the world that Noah found himself living in. And he said, every, not some, not a few, not a lot, he says, every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart are evil. Not sometimes, not occasionally, not once in a blue moon, all the time. So the next time you're flipping on that TV, the thing in the box with the remote, and you're flipping through it, and you see the news, and you think, oh my gosh, this is nuts. You do understand. It's called life. See, this is the sin condition. Left undealt with, sin will continue to increase. In the world that Noah had, this is the world that Noah had to decide, I am going to do what God said. You're going to see this several times as we go through this sermon series. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. And you know what? It's not like he got a lot of consolation prizes for doing it. You see, when Matthew records Jesus talking about the flood, this is what he wrote. For in the days before Noah, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving them marriage up until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. And I always find this statement interesting because it said they knew nothing. Really? They could see the ark. They could hear Noah's preaching. This is pre-flood, so that means Garden of Eden is still around. And you think for half a second somebody didn't figure out how to set a booth up and sell tickets to go see the flaming sword and the angel guard the tree of life? Oh yeah, they'd be like, come and see it and pay me $10 while you're at it. They had all of this stuff representing God all around them, and it says that they did not see it coming. They saw the ark, but all they saw was the show. They didn't understand what Noah was doing. It's not that they were ignorant of God. They had just become lost in their own knowledge. Now, I want to make sure you hear this, because this is important to the story. Did the flood solve the sin issue? No. We won't even get out of the story of Noah, and guess what? Sin pops back up. The sin issue was not solved by Noah's ark. That would be solved thousands and thousands of years later after the ark. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit, After being made alive, he went and made a proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those that were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but a pledge of a clean conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with the angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. 1 week down, that means you've got 8 weeks left to go. By the way, I may have oversold this a little bit because I know some people are thinking, here comes Barry's chance. By the time we're done, we're going to have stuffed animals and rainbows, and he's going to build an ark. And I know you're waiting. We don't have any of that because I don't want to take away from the story. But don't worry, there's a lot of Barry twist in what we do. But I don't want to take away from the story with the theatrics because, trust me, this is theatrical enough. I need you to see this is a story of faith. It was the faith of one man who decided to heed God's warning. That one man not only built an ark, he preached to the world, and he witnessed to his family. When he was all done, he managed to get 3 sons, 3 wives, his own wife and himself, and a bunch of animals onto the ark. And that was it. You know, sometimes when we're dealing in this old world, we get a little discouraged when nobody listens to us. Welcome to Noah's world, folks.